It's another time spent with God and with the company of saints. In such companies, diverse things happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Diverse things happen. The Spirit is at work and moves as He wills in our midst. Hallelujah. This morning, I'll quickly just continue what I said last week. I think I found a title for it, just Body and Soul. Hallelujah. I think so. Body and Soul. Last week, we talked about the body, about the importance of the body and how it should not be overemphasized. The body is not the primary thing, it is just an important thing in believer. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, just move on to that the intangible part of man, which is the soul. And the soul is comprised of the spirit. And like I said last week, of the spirit and the soul. Hallelujah. Let's start from this piece of scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. I already made a reference to this scripture last week. And I made a reference to the spirit last week, whereby we read the scripture in Romans chapter 8 that says, if the spirit of Christ that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you, that same spirit will give life to your body. Amen. So we'll be looking at the spirit this morning. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. I would like to start from there. He says, but we have this treasure. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. King James Version will say, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. So last week we looked at the jars of clay. Today we begin to look at the treasure that is in earthen vessels. Amen. Bible describes it or him as treasure. That is the presence of the spirit in the believer is described as treasure. A treasure is something that is good, something that is worthy, something that is valuable. Amen. Something that has good quality is what the believer has received and that is in this body. Hallelujah. Which further gives us that reason to say that the emphasis is not on the body, but on the important thing that has been deposited within the body. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'll just move on by saying a little or some things about the spirit. Follow me. Hallelujah. The spirit is the intangible part of man. That is the essence of the soul. That is the essence of the soul as we describe the spirit and the soul further. That is the life of man. The spirit is that vital part of man. When it is not present, it is considered to be a state of death. When the spirit leaves the body of a man, then we say the man is dead. If we are serious Christians who deeply understand the realities of God, we say such a man has fallen asleep in God. Amen. But when the spirit leaves the body of man, the body becomes lifeless. Amen. Remember I said that it may not be so appropriate to try to separate them. Because when you separate them, it may not be rightly qualified as man again. Amen. That's why it is a struggle to say he is now lifeless. Because indeed, there is another part of him that is still existing, though not in the body. Hallelujah. When a man does not have the Spirit of God, when the influence of the gospel, or when the gospel has not had an influence on the man's spirit, that is when the man has not believed into Christ, he is described as dead unto God. Yet he may be alive as the world will relate with it, but he is dead unto God. He is spiritually dead unto God. Jesus describes this in Luke chapter 9 verse 60, where he says, "Let the dead go and bury their dead." Amen. The man who has not encountered Christ is considered dead. Hallelujah. Because he lacks sensitivity to the life of God. He is spiritually insensitive to God. The cravings of such a man is after fulfilling the lust of the flesh, which the sin nature helps him try to satisfy. Look at how or what Romans chapter 6 verse 13 says. Romans chapter 6 verse 13. He says, "Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves unto God as those who have been bought from death to life." He was talking to... Okay, let me finish. "And offer parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness." He was talking to believers, people who have not believed in Christ, and was trying to admonish them that this body you now own is no longer to be used to satisfy the things of the flesh or to follow after the sinful nature, because it is now one that is alive unto God. Amen. Because it has been brought from death to life. So the man who has not met Jesus is described as dead unto God. Amen. The spirit is dead unto God. He is in a state of deadness unto God. He cannot respond. He is not sensitive to the things of God. Living righteously is a facade for such a person. It is film trick for such a person. He will at best struggle. And as much as he struggles, Bible even further qualifies and describes his works of righteousness as filthy rags. Because he does not have the right thing to respond to do it the way God wants him to do it. He's dead to God. Hallelujah. But when a man believes into Christ, when the gospel of Christ has an influence on such a spirit, the man is made alive unto God. Amen. When you give your life to Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, can we open our Bibles there? Ephesians chapter 1. I want to show you what happens when you give your life to Christ. When you say, "Lord Jesus, I believe that you died and you rose again for me." Hallelujah. I'll read from 13. He says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." When the gospel has an influence on the spirit of man, such a man is marked by the Holy Spirit. So to say, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has an influence on the man's spirit, so that the Holy Spirit is sealed upon such a man, guaranteeing that that man belongs to God. Amen. Hallelujah. It shows a spiritual occurrence happening that is beyond the physical. It shows something that happens that is beyond what you have a control over. Amen. You do not receive the Holy Spirit just on the basis of the physical things you are able to do. But because you've taken a step of faith and you believe into the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes and has an influence on your spirit. You become a different man. So the spirit is the primary part of man that is transformed. It is not a case of the spirit coming upon the body. Then they've always said you were short, and all of a sudden you just grew tall because you are now born again. No, it is the spirit that the Lord works on. He influences, it infuses itself in your spirit. Amen. It is the spirit that is transformed. That is the regeneration that we speak about. What makes you totally new and different is because the Lord walked upon your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm coming. Follow me. That is where the change occurred, is in the spirit. It is not in the mind or the heart. Neither is it in the body. I am not disputing that the spirit has a working, I think I said that last week, has a working upon the body, has the ability to work upon the body, can influence the body, but primarily what God changed, what God transformed is the spirit. It became holy. It became new. Something happened that is beyond human comprehension, but we will try to describe it. Amen. Sometimes we say, the Holy Spirit told me. Do you have is the Holy Spirit different from your spirit? Something happened within you that is beyond human reasoning. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Turn your Bibles there. If you don't have a Bible, you can share with someone beside you. But I want you to see it. Popular scripture, I believe. John chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I missed my scripture. Okay. Okay, first, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We will still come to John chapter 3. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. Yeah, that's the scripture. He says, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. That's verse 17. I like King James Version very well. It says, he that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him. That is what occurred in the realm of the spirit. So to say, we cannot really attempt to distinguish or put a knife to divide your spirit and the Holy Spirit, because when you are joined with the Lord, you are fused with Him. The Spirit, your spirit is now united with the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says, we all have been baptized into one body and have been made to drink into one spirit. While we attempt to separate or distinguish you as an individual, we also need to understand that that spirit has been united with the Spirit of God. Amen. So what you carry in you, or who you carry in you, the you that you have become, is not ordinary, it's not like the common man, should not be equated to the common man, because you are one spirit with the Lord. Amen. If you are looking down yourself, it's time to stop looking down yourself, because your spirit is one spirit with the Lord. Amen. It is not what you did or you can do by yourself. The transformation, the occurrence did not take place by your permission. Can I be one spirit with you now? No, it didn't require your permission. It happened on the basis of your belief. The only thing, if you didn't want it, that you shouldn't have believed. Amen. But in that you believed, something happened to you that you need to adjust your thinking, your thought pattern to. I am one spirit with the Lord. The spirit that is within me is not the common one. Is one with the Lord. Is one that has the potential of the heavenly host. Amen. That which I carry is superior. Thank you. Is superior, more superior than the casing that might be an advantage that people see. Amen. That is why the scripture will describe it as this treasure in earthen vessels. Since we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in jars of clay, no matter how good looking the man is, if what is inside is not the treasure of the Lord, it is fake. It's just a matter of time. Amen. The best of men are mere men. They go with the sand. Amen. For with the dust. Hallelujah. We can begin naming them. People we still somehow love in our hearts because of their gifts and their talents, or probably their beauty. Amen. You know the popular one you're thinking about. Amen. He's dead now. Hallelujah. Who even attempted to recreate himself. Hallelujah. Forgetting that the real recreation is the one the Lord does. Amen. Say who? MJ. Hallelujah. Say, dude. And people are screaming, oh, he waved to me. Hallelujah. If the treasure within is not the treasure of the Lord, it is but dust that goes to dust. Amen. He says we have this treasure. The life you have, who you have become, is one you need to understand and cherish well, because it's having God, is having yourself fused with the Lord. Amen. We see it's scattered in all over scriptures. How Ephesians, Colossians describes how that we are seated with Christ in God. How that we are your life, you are dead and your life is now hid with Christ in God. And all that, such concept described. But in all of it, you must recognize it is a reality. Your spirit is one spirit with the Lord. While we attempt to distinguish it, you must understand and pay attention to a new superior law that now operates in your body, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. You have the Spirit of God. The best way I could probably describe it is when you take a drop of water. This water is different from another one when you bring a bigger bucket of water. But the moment you pour this water into that water, it's impossible to distinguish it, to separate it. That is how complicated your life has now become, having believed in Christ. We say, but I put my water there. Oh, yeah, bring your water. Sir, bring your water. How do you know the name? How do you identify it? You say, I just know it's this quantity. Okay. How are you sure it's this exact quantity? Because your life is now lost in that of God. Amen. It's an awesome reality we must live by and allow to influence our dealings in this body. He that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him. I should quickly underscore this point that spirit that is one with the Lord does not grow. Amen. It cannot grow taller or shorter. At best, we will describe it as saying you grow in the spirit because the treasure that now dwells within you is larger than the life you used to have. Amen. So you mature in the spirit. You grow in the spirit. Bible says that the Lord does not give his spirit by measure. John 3:34. He does not give the spirit by measure. The spirit is described as a person, not a content, not a thing like oil. That the more you have, the more it increases. Amen. So the spirit that is alive on your inside is complete. It's complete. Amen. That spirit is complete. It's mature. It does not need anything to complete it. It does not need the laying on of hands. So let me lay hands on you and you receive a bigger spirit. Amen. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The spirit of the Lord that has come upon you is complete. Amen. At best, we will say you need to grow in the spirit. And by God's grace, we'll look at that more next week. The man who has received the Spirit of the Lord is drawn towards God. He's drawn towards God. He's drawn towards the things of God. He's drawn towards God to commune with him, to worship him, to do his will, because it is now, you have a spirit that is now alive unto God. Amen. The spirit that is inside there now is alive unto God. And because the spirit is alive unto God, there's a yearning, there's a drawing towards the things of God. Remember, I said last week how the body has a craving after the things that will satisfy the flesh. Oh, you want to... Hallelujah. I just remembered Coke. You want to take Coke. Amen. The body is drawn towards the things of the flesh, but the spirit that is on the inside is drawn towards God, because that is the source. Amen. Somehow it's even difficult to say that is the source, because it is one. That is why there's a drawing towards God. There's a longing to commune. If you have not prayed for 7 days, you can't feel, you can't be the same. Some people is 1 day because they are so in tune to the Spirit. Some people is 30 minutes. Some people is 1 minute can't go by. Ah, no, they are not the same. The Spirit is alive. Is now drawn towards God. There's a longing. There's a communion. There's a desire to commune with the Father and to do His will. Because the Spirit there is now alive to God. The way the spirit of the unregenerated man does is that it just feels empty. I'm not complete. It feels lost, like a lost soul. So his craving and desire is to return back to his maker. But for the man whose spirit has been regenerated, who is alive in God, is drawn towards loving the Lord, worshiping the Lord, doing the will of the Lord, doing the things that are pleasing to God. Amen. Such is the way of the man of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'll read from verse 15. Just to help you see that point. Verse 15 says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear." That is the man who has not been regenerated. He feels lost. He feels like a slave. He's afraid of the things of this world as much as he is drawn towards doing them. He's lost. The spirit is lost. Desiring to return back to his maker. But he says the man who has given his life to Christ, he says, "But you receive the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." It is a natural cry, a natural longing after the Father. Your spirit is not drawn back. It's longing for the Father. With good understanding, even if you have done the worst of sin, there is a spirit that is yearning after the Father, and you just fall down at his feet. Father, I don't know. This is the best place for me. Nowhere else. David understood it in spite of being under the law. When it was time for, there was some sin committed and all that, and the Lord gave him 3 options. "I will hand you over to the people for a period of time. You will be their slave and all that. And after that, you return. The other one, I will hand you over to them for a particular period and then you return." Well, the third option, he said, "I don't want any of those options. I want your mercy." Amen. Do you know what the mercy of the Lord was? He killed thousands of the Israelites. But David understood, it's better to be at the Lord's mercy than to be at the mercy of man or men. The Spirit, it has a yearning. It's crying, Abba, Father, a longing drawn after the Father to worship him, to bow at his feet, to go where he says go. That is what the Spirit you now have is drawn towards. It's not one that draws back, but it's one that is drawn towards the Lord. It's drawn towards the Lord. He says, "Christ, Abba, Father." He says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. He that does not have the Spirit of God is none of his." If you do not have the Spirit of God, who testifies that you are the child of God, you are none of his. It is not about what you can do or how you have done it or what you speak or how you speak it. It is that the spirit in there testifies with your spirit that you belong to the Lord, that God is your Father, that God is your Father, and there is a drawing towards God. There's a yearning, there's a longing. If the yearnings after God is not there at all, please come. Let's explain clearly the gospel so you receive Christ and the yearnings are there. If the yearnings are not there at all, then you need to check yourself. Maybe you've run far, but His Spirit is still saying, come. Maybe you've closed your ears. You've made it so silent and quiet. You don't want to hear again. But the Spirit is still calling. Amen. There's a drawing after. There's a drawing after. There's a drawing after. The Spirit there is testifying that we are children of God. Says how if we are children, then we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ and all that. These are some of the implications of having the Spirit of God on your inside. I won't go into all of that. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll just quickly say Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 to 25 describes how hallelujah. There is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Those are signs, the expectations of how the believer ought to carry and conduct himself. Because you have the Spirit of God, there is a natural tendency. This is now your new order. This is what should be the fruit of your activities or of your new person. Galatians chapter 5, I'll just quickly read it. I won't stay on it because at some other point in the course of the year, we will be looking at that particular peace for a whole month. Galatians chapter 5. Let me read from 17. No, let me just say on 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Because you have the Spirit of God within you, you can walk in love. It becomes a nature for you. You have patience. You say, Pastor, in my family, we are not known for patience. No, that was your family. There is a new order. There is a new life. There is a new spirit now on display at work. And what that spirit has to offer to you is patience. In that matter, you can be patient. Why? You have the Spirit of God. In that matter, you can walk in love. Why? You have the Spirit of God. In that situation, you can be gentle. There is self-control. There's self-control. Why? You have the Spirit of God. Amen. Such is the fruit of the Spirit because you have the Spirit of God. Because you are the child of God, as we saw in Romans chapter 8, says you are children of God. You are children of God. You are children of God. This has added value to you. Follow me. I want to describe this. This has brought you to a place, or this has added some, is like, can I describe it as you now have this hidden value that may not be seen to the eye, but there's a value that you have adopted because you believed into Christ. Amen. To say you're a child of God is something you should not play down. I was telling someone yesterday and I said, look at this, my boy. He's one, if he does rubbish, I will spank him and say, no, no, no. Amen. Does not mean I hate him. But the truth is, if I have 1 million, it's for him. You don't look down on the fact that the scripture describes you as a child of God. It has elevated you to a position that cannot be equaled by anything the world has to offer. That cannot be quantified by the dimensions of all the good things of this life. The Spirit says you are a child of God. You are a child of God. You are not a mere man. No matter what the world calls you, there is more to you than what the world calls you. There's more to who you are than what the world says that you are. You are one who has hidden values within you, a value that is going to be appreciated properly when the Lord returns. Some of us may die as paupers. It does not mean that what we have inside is not treasures. When the Lord returns, the treasure that will shine forth will outweigh all the gold and silver the world has to offer. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. No matter how beaten your body is, because you are a child of God, the value of your life is constant. The value of your life has been improved by the Holy Spirit who made you a child. And the cost to have that value is the life of Christ. Don't allow the events and the issues of life define who you are, but whom you have become by the Spirit. I'll say it again. No matter how beaten your body is, the value of your life is constant. See, I used to be very rich. Now I'm poor. Or poor, poor, poor. Amen. I used to be tall, but you know, I used to be very handsome. But as I grew older, you know, life happened. Or I used to be well built. I just fell sick and I lost everything. No matter what the life, what life or how life beats you up and treats you as nothing, wasted, the value of the treasure within is the same. It's constant. And it says, you are a child of God. Amen. The value of your life has been improved by the Holy Spirit who made you a child. And the cause to have that value is the life of Christ. It costs Christ to die that you might become a child of God by the Spirit of God that now dwells within you. Samuel, come, let's round off. Don't allow the events and the issues of life define who you are, but whom you have become by the Spirit. Let who you have become by the Spirit define the things that happen to you. Let who you have become by the Spirit determine how you respond to those situations. Let who you have become by the Spirit be the determining factor of where you are headed and how you are headed there. Amen. One more point. It should let us know and understand that the Spirit can be grieved. Scripture admonishes how that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom we have been sealed with. That is, when we do not walk instead with the Spirit is going right and you decide you are going left. The Spirit is communicating to your heart that you are a child of God, but you are looking at your life situation and say, how can I be a child of God when I don't have money in my pocket? Amen. A man can grieve the Spirit. So it will be inappropriate that you fall into that deception. You don't allow it. Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit by whom you have been sealed with until the day of the possessed possession. It comes as a command because it's possible. Scripture acknowledges how there is a warring, a war between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is longing after Coke. Black or white Coke is longing after it. The spirit is longing after a yearning, a yearning, a yearning. It's being drawn to God and to do the things of God. The spirit is saying that money for Coke, drop it to that for do the good work of the Lord. He said, Coke, good work, Coke, good work. Coke. So there will always be a competing. You begin to grieve the spirit when even in simple decisions, you choose to go by the flesh as against the spirit. You say, Pastor, it's just a bottle of Coke. What are you saying? In simple things. He says, marry a black woman. He's a black woman. Say, Pastor, no, he's the fair one that is fine. Fine. No, not Pastor. Say, Holy Spirit, the fair one is finer. It's finer. Amen. It's in simple things as not following the leading of the Spirit. He says, don't pass your usual route. Pass the other one. Sir. I think I feel what you are saying, but that other one is longer. It's longer. At the point of despising is the point of grieving the Spirit. It's in such simple things. It is not until we commit the worst of evil, when we pick a knife and stab someone to death. It is not until it gets to that extent before we say we are grieving the Spirit. It's a case of not following the footsteps of the Spirit as He leads. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is there to aid you, to help you, to guide you, to direct you, to help you be at your best, to help you find confidence when the issues of life says you should not have any confidence at all. To help you be calm when the situation says you should have torn your clothes, you should not find calmness in your life. To help you be still when the normal reaction is that you should have scattered everywhere. The Spirit is there to help you. Walk instead with the Spirit. Follow after the Spirit. Do not grieve the Spirit. It's in such things as seen in Scripture that your life is better, and you choose to see and hold on to and profess that your life is at the worst of it. Do not grieve the Spirit. Last point as I close. Galatians chapter 5. Can we turn our Bibles there? I'll close in 3 or 5 minutes. Just allow me. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. Say, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The writer is admonishing that they should live by the Spirit so that they will rise above the challenges of the flesh. The sinful nature, with the sinful nature offers. 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Since we live by the Spirit, since there is now a new law of the Spirit on our inside, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. There is a law of the Spirit that we need to align to and need to allow to dictate the way we carry and conduct ourselves. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Is it 1 Corinthians chapter 12? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, oh, shush, hallelujah. It's not there. It should be Romans chapter 12. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to prove, hallelujah, I'm reading King James Version in my head, that which is acceptable and pleasing and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I know this is not the scripture I'm looking for. Hallelujah. But the idea is this. There is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has set us free from the law of sin and death. And we, as men who are one spirit with the Lord, should align and keep in step with that Spirit. That is when you will have a full benefit of the life you have received. That is when you will manifest properly the glory of God. That is when you will shine brightly in this dark world. That is why when the situations of life knock you down, you get up. It knocks you down, you get up. That is when it will be evident that you are children of God. Hallelujah. Shall we bow our heads and say a word of prayer? Thank you, Father. You are worthy to be glorified. Wherever you are, I just want you to pray right now about whatever what you have heard. If there's a place or a reason to renew your commitment, to the Father, please do that very quickly. The Spirit is alive and active. The Spirit desires a yearning after the Lord. The activities of the Spirit transcends, is better, far better, outweighs worth the activities of the flesh may desire, no matter how beautiful it may be. If we walk in the Spirit, we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Thank you, Father. You are worthy to be praised. We lift you high. We take that song again. You are here. I worship you.
You are here, moving in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, blessing every life. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending broken hearts. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
The message you have just listened to is from the Grace Community Church, located at 12 Salako Crescent, Ogba, Lagos.
Our service times are Sundays 9 a.m. and Wednesdays 6 p.m. We look forward to having you worship with us. Our Twitter handle at TGCC Online. You can also reach us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/The Grace Community Church.
We would love to hear from you. Thank you.